Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mukbil Yabaro, filling in for Sonny Young. Let's get into the October 16th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Kicking off the show with my colleagues, Kali Abdu and Mike Hove. We discussed the break from major club football this past weekend due to international football action. France, Portugal, and Spain were among the winners we spoke about, as well as Norway with two megastars who couldn't get the job done. Let's have a listen. On this segment of The Sunny Side of Sports, I have with me, I think we're going to turn this into a segment of sorts, Kali and Mike. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the segment with me today.
Thanks for having me.
What's good?
Yes, sir. So let's talk about, since the English Premier League and Serie A and a lot of the top clubs had an off week because international play was happening, let's talk about some of the biggest and most interesting games. France beats the Netherlands 2-1. Kylian Mbappe scores both goals. Mm-hmm. We have Portugal beating Slovakia 3-2. Mm-hmm. We have Belgium beating Austria 3-2. And Spain beating Norway 1-0. And these are all for the European. This is for Euro qualifiers. Mm-hmm. And that loss, let's start off with that Spain Norway lost, that actually eliminates Norway from Euros with the 1-0 goal by Gavi. Talk to me. Kali, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good look because you have a guy like Haaland getting all the press he's getting for being world-class and all that, but there's question marks about his international contributions. And he wasn't at the last World Cup. And everybody was excusing him for it, saying, give him time, you know, let's see what he does, you know, leading up to the Euros. And it's not looking good. For me, you have to show up international-wise, and he's not. I don't want to blame him, but again.
Yeah. Listen, man, we're talking about a couple of discussions here. There's the Ballon d'Or. There's a lot of discussions at hand as to why it was important for Haaland. And not just him. Odegaard. Mm-hmm. That's another guy that needed to stand up and show why they are the players that people look at them as to be. For Haaland, this is about him, I guess, establishing himself as a football player. I know one of the talks amongst fans was, now that the CR7, the CR7 Messi rivalry is over, or not over per se, but it's not prevalent in our faces as it used to be, the new rivalry was supposed to be Mbappe and Haaland. But now with Haaland, once again, like you said, Kali, it's not on him to carry the team alone, but him being the player that he is for Norway, him and Odegaard being the established players that they are, was supposed to carry their nation to the next spot. And this was supposed to be Haaland's opportunity for him to really show that he is that player that's in the mix.
Mike, just to follow up on that, do you think because Mbappe, in their 2-1 victory against the Netherlands, mm-hmm. Scored both goals, he's always had success on the international level, mm-hmm. but not as much success on the club side.
Right.
Right. Whereas Haaland is the opposite.
Right.
Which one do you hold more, I guess, what's more important to a player? To be more revered by his country or his club accolades?
Man, I used to be an athlete, so I'll tell you now. I've played on an international scale and I've played on a very reputable scale as an athlete. But I will say, nothing takes that pride like when you wear your international colors, man. Mm-hmm. It's something that a lot of players strive for. And there's not just that, but being able to take your country to the next level. What Mbappe did in the World Cup, as much as France did not win, that's something that put everybody, when they look at him, they made him look at him in a different light, that Mbappe clearly is that player where when the tough goes tough, Mbappe can turn the game around. Now, once again, he hasn't had really great conducive results with PSG, but Mbappe is still Mbappe. He's still a player that needs to be respected. I don't think it's very fair for people to compare him and Erling Haaland for one reason. Mbappe, at both clubs, club and international level, has a support system that is really impressive. All the players that play for France, for example, impressive. Not to knock what Norway is capable of producing. Of course, Norway is still Norway, but they don't have a French side behind them. So Haaland's conversation was a little different in terms of what he has to stand up to. Of course, with Man City, and just like Mbappe, by the way, let's also highlight that Haaland hasn't had the greatest of results recently, right?
Yeah.
So this is a whole different discussion. But when it comes down to it, I think instances like these is what shows the difference between what Kylian Mbappe is capable of doing versus Erling Haaland.
Yeah, no, I think I would definitely agree with you in that the French national side for years has been stellar, you know, top quality. Norway, not as much. You know, they are in the coming. They are moving into that direction. But you're right. And they also played a very formidable Spain team. So it wasn't like they, you know, lost to a random team. But let's talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, they said that the man was out. They said that the... They said he was washed, man. He went to the Saudi Pro League. They said only retired guys go there. He comes back, scores two goals for Portugal. Gonzalo Ramos.
I think if he had scored a hat-trick, he was going to be the highest scoring Portuguese player of all time.
He's going to hit it. You know, someone said, I think he's at like 850-something goals. He's... you know, well on his way. He said he still feels great. He could play a lot more caps, you know. Yeah, so he definitely wants to go and, you know, try to score a couple more and get to 900, you know. But his coach bet him that he couldn't make it to 1,000, you know. And, you know, Cristiano's one of those people where...
he needs that.
He needs that little bit of push, and now he has it. Now, I don't know if he gets to 1,000. That's a long number, but he said, I have to get to 900 first. So talk to me, Kali, about Cristiano, you know, people counting him out and thinking that the Saudi Pro League is not really a league of sorts, and now he's back to top form in, you know, international, scoring two goals in international Euro qualifiers.
Yeah, I think he's a victim of unfortunate circumstances. He's a victim of the internet. His biggest problem is the fact that so many people love Leo Messi. I remember when I was in Qatar, man, people really love Messi, right? And so some people feel like because they love Messi, there needs to be an antithesis of that. And it's like, we love Messi, so no matter what. So I think that he's been a victim of that because the guy's a force of nature. I don't even understand why anyone would question Cristiano Ronaldo as a player, as a person, how professional he is. Right. So, but I think that he's just a victim of his own success. There are a lot of people in football like this. They make such a big name for themselves that they become a target. You know, it's like they set such a high bar, you know, they like a Jose Mourinho. It's like that, where it's like what is considered a failure for him isn't a failure for others. You know, so that's where Ronaldo is. And all he can do is use that as fuel to just keep, you know, achieving things is what I would say.
To add on to what Carly's saying, listen, man, any football analyst that said Ronaldo was washed was crazy. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you. The reason I say that is because there's some talents in this world where Ronaldo's, what, 37, 38?
Yeah.
At 38, I don't care what league you send him to. Messi's the same. Yeah. I don't care what league you send him to.
Yeah.
That doesn't take away from how stellar and how talented these people are.
Right.
These acts are one, literally, when I say this, one of a generation acts, where I don't care what league you send them to, they are still those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't care what league you send Cristiano Ronaldo to, he is still Cristiano Ronaldo. And the reason I say that is even if you send him to Saudi, he's still capable of doing that. And he's proven that in the past games. He's proven that time and time again. Ronaldo is still an act that you could take to Champions League, and he's still better than at least 80%, if not 90%, of those young acts that are coming up today. And so that's something that always needs to be respected. The same thing was said when Leo moved to MLS, and they're like, you know, yes, he's scoring, but he's playing against farmers. Yeah, he's playing against farmers, but he is still Leo Messi. It's something that needs to be respected. Who they play against is a whole different discussion, sure, but these acts are still classic world-class acts that are capable, more than capable, of carrying their nations along.
Man, okay. I like that. Talk to me about Belgium versus Austria. Belgium wins 3-2. Romelu Lukaku.
Listen, I'll start to tell you because I've been watching the Roma games, right? Because I was very curious to see if this third season curse is real with Mourinho. They started off as if that's a fact, but then they embedded Lukaku in. And ever since they brought him in, he scored in, I would say, if not every game, almost every game, to the point where it's like, you just know he's going to score. And he's taking that form into the international team. So props to him, man, because a lot of people thought he was washed. He has a lot of haters on the internet. I don't know why people, you know, it's like some people choose certain players and no matter what they do, they will hate on them. He falls in that category, maybe because of his exploits with previous teams.
Yeah, so with Lukaku, and listen, I'm happy that Lukaku managed to get onto the score sheet. I'm happy that Lukaku's time and time again has performed and shown what kind of player he really is. Lukaku is, once again, obviously he's not CR7 or Messi, but Lukaku is that player that people need to start putting their respect on.
Mm-hmm.
I say this because Lukaku has time and time again gone to stellar clubs and produced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, his track record of in terms of pledging loyalty and showing loyalty towards those clubs is a little different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why the Chelsea situation was a little sticky, the Juve situation and all that was a little sticky. But what I will say to you is Lukaku is a striker to be respected.
Oh yeah.
Lukaku has once again shown that he can get on the score sheet. Lukaku, as he is with Roma, is showing that he is that striker that needs to be respected regardless of where he goes.
I think, me personally, I think Chelsea's last spill, man, has really caused a lot of devastation for a lot of players that still have a lot of quality in them. I don't know what's going on with that club per se, mm-hmm. But, you know, Lukaku fell victim to it. Mudryk right now is in the mix, mm-hmm. and he's looking like the guy can't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a Joao Felix goes on loan there. And looks like he doesn't even know how to play the game.
Mm.
Leaves, goes to Barcelona, is literally like a part of everything going well for them. So, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, with the fan base as big as Chelsea's, they can just put something out there like, oh, this guy, he's not the guy.
Yeah.
He's not the guy that we thought he was.
It becomes very,
you know,
toxic.
Yeah, so I think Chelsea definitely has a big part to do with the Lukaku negativity. But I'm glad he's back on form. So, gentlemen, let's talk about some international friendlies that are happening today. Mozambique versus Nigeria. Yeah, so they definitely should, I think they should ball out against them. The more closer matches that we will be looking at today will be Egypt versus Algeria and Senegal versus Cameroon. Takes on those games, gentlemen.
Man, Super Eagles have, all I can say is they have a team right now of, they have ballers, especially in the striking department. They have a lot of they have a lot of good players, right?
Osimhen going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man!
So you know you expect them to win that, but you know Egypt Algeria is quite a game, man.
That's gonna be a good game.
Yeah.
It's a good game to watch out for. Yeah.
Was that Mahrez versus Salah?
Yeah,
Is Salah on the team list?
I think he should.
It being a friendly, I wouldn't expect them to bring out the superstars. But if they do bring out the superstars, same thing with Victor Osimhen. I don't expect him to play in a friendly game.
Osimhen plays outside, though, with the kids. I rate him.
He's rated. It's a friendly game. I don't expect them to bring out their stellars. But however, what I can speak to is the development systems in all these nations that we just mentioned. All these nations have shown time and time again that they're capable of producing stars.
Mm-hmm.
They're capable of producing systems that are very operable.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt is a team not to be played with on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
Algeria is a team to be respected on the continent. Mm-hmm. Nigeria, the Super Eagles, of course, time and time again, they have produced stars. They have produced systems that have actually, you know, shown class. Cameroon is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all going to be good games.
Senegal, show respect.
To his point, I have a controversial take.
Uh-huh.
I was telling Sunday Shamari, our colleague, during the World Cup, I didn't rate Cameroon. But then as Cameroon started to play, right, they started to show the class. The players they have, man. You know, you have this guy who plays for Brentford, but they have similar players like that. That guy, whenever he plays for Brentford, it doesn't matter whether it's against Liverpool or City, he shows class every time. He's very confident on the ball. So Cameroon has similar players like that. Mm-hmm. Not major names, not Mbappe's, but just guys that they can rely on every single game. So to that note, Senegal was the opposite. Senegal had names that you thought, oh, this guy's in Senegal, they're going to kill it. And then they come together and they can't do it like that. They rely on Mane or somebody to do something on their own.
But to be fair to them, too, Mane being out was a big hit for them. That. And they still kind of like pulled themselves up and kind of tried to do a thing. But I think Mane being there would have been a completely different side for them. I look to see him definitely. He's been on form with Nasser lately.
Okay.
I think he's like 6-7 goals right now. Him and Cristiano might be the two highest scoring duos right now in Saudi Pro League. So look to him to see him get back acclimated with the international side.
Before we move forward, I do want to highlight one thing. And it's actually becoming an interesting discussion, right? Is how and all these international coaches actually owned up to it. Among them being Senegal's coach, is where they initially when they were picking their squads, they didn't look at the CR7s and Mane's because they're like, you guys are going to watch the league. But after watching how the league plays, their opinion differed. What this is also highlighting, and taking aside the whole idea of how much money is being pumped into the Saudi league, is the caliber of these players, once again, does not change. Sadio Mane is still Sadio Mane.
Right.
Take him to whatever league. Now, of course, the challenge and the intensity might be a little different. They're not playing in Europe. But what this is highlighting, if you see the way that Sadio Mane and CR7 are playing together at Al Nassr, it's amazing.
Right. And also to that point as well, not only, see, before we thought that it was a retirement league similar to MLS, right? But the difference, I think, with the Saudi Pro League is, and this obviously is heavily influenced by the money that they have, right? They're impacting and pulling young stars from Europe across, you know, across the world. So you have a young guy who's 21, 22 years old who naturally would be inclined to go to a big club in Europe because of that big payday. But now he can get that payday, even larger sum, playing alongside some of his heroes in Saudi. So they have, you know, they have a different allure, I think, that, you know, maybe that the MLS still has not been able to figure out how to get to. But it'll be interesting to see what comes of this league. Champs League, gentlemen, next week, just looking ahead, what are some of the games that stick out to you guys? I think for me, Galatasaray Bayern is a very interesting game because I believe both Bayern, they're number one and number two in that group with United. So that'll kind of be very important for their group. Arsenal Sevilla, Arsenal having lost to Lens, this is a very important game for them to, you know, kind of solidify themselves in that group that really is kind of all over the place. Lens plays PSV, so similarly in that position as well. And then what else? I think
my biggest games are, like you said, Sevilla, Arsenal. It's going to be heated because Sevilla fired their manager who won them the Europa League last season, and Arsenal are going to be coming for blood after losing against Lens. So, and then Newcastle Dortmund will be a hell of a game.
Firstly, gentlemen, what's going on with this guy, Alexander Isak?
Yeah.
The boy's going crazy. Balling.
The thing is, he's been nice.
Yeah.
You know, he's been nice. It's just that, you know.
Rose Eric Tran, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't even know. It's because he plays for Sweden, right?
Yeah, Sweden International. His parents are Eric
Tran. He's been nice. I like him as a striker, as a baller. He's one of those guys. He's tall and lanky, but he's quick and he can dribble. And, you know, he's a great finisher. So he's nice, man. People just didn't know about him like that.
Yeah, man. No, people don't know about him just yet, but they are definitely getting familiar with him. I think for me, another game too, PSG Milan.
Oh yeah,
is gonna be a very very big game.
Because Newcastle beat PSG, they're going to need to
listen. Yeah. Beat is not the right word,
man.
They walloped.
That was crazy.
Beat down. Because, man, I mean, look to see. I mean, if my boy Mbappe is coming off this international like this, look to see him really go crazy.
Milan might pay for it. But Milan also, right, are doing well in that league because I've been watching that league.
Yeah. They're up there.
Yeah. So it's going to be a hell of a game indeed.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you for your time, man. I always love the conversations. Definitely we'll have you guys back on because that's what we do.
Anytime, boss.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Moving things over to the basketball court, Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers is inspiring young players in his birthplace of Yaoundé. In this Encore Sunnyside of Sports feature presentation, Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Young Bama Francis trains with about 20 of his peers at a community basketball pitch in Longkak, a neighborhood in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. The 11-year-old says he and the other teenagers have big dreams.
I want to be a big star like Joel Embiid. I usually watch him on TV, on NBA. And I asked my father, and my father said, he used to play basketball on this very pitch at Longkak.
It is on this very pitch that one of the best basketball players on the planet, Joel Embiid, had his humble beginnings, which eventually made him to travel to America at the age of 16. Daniel Akonu was Embiid's teammate, roommate, and very close friend at Kosenge Basketball Club in Yaoundé. Akono remembers how the beginning was tough for Embiid. Akono said he also wanted to travel to America, but God had different plans for him. He says he feels proud that Embiid made it where he could not and valuably represents Cameroon. Among Embiid's admirers is Didier Bidias, who in 2011 was director of Mba Amote Camp, that assembles and helps talented basketball players to live their dreams. Embiid took part at the camp.
We discovered that Joel had a great potential at just 15. He was 2.9 meters tall, and that was great for the team. We thought it was a good opportunity to give him the chance to participate in the youth NBA games in South Africa, even though initially no one trusted his talent.
Pour nous de l'aider à émerger dans le sport qu'il aimait bien.
Didier adds that basketball has lifted Embiid from an unknown person in Cameroon to a world superstar.
Joel Embiid, comme lui-même le dit, son histoire est un film.
Joel Embiid used to say his journey is a miraculous one because he sustained an injury in 2014 on the eve of his pre-selection for Philadelphia side. He had to spend 3 extra years down before officially playing his first game on October 29, 2017 against Thunders, and he got 29 points.
Ils vont gagner le championnat.
But Embiid's decision to become both a French and U.S. citizen in 2022 is causing strong reactions in his country of birth, Cameroon. Many Cameroonians say he should have returned home to help Cameroon's national basketball team that is keeping the dream of qualifying to their first men's Olympic basketball tournament alive after winning their first continental title in the sport. Fabien Onana, however, says Embiid can play for either France or America, but his love for Cameroon never fades.
Bon, en tant que Joel Embiid, en tant que jeune Camerounais, de venir investir au Cameroun.
He says Joel Embiid has already inspired thousands of Cameroonian youths to love and play basketball. Onana says Embiid told Cameroon state broadcaster CRTV that he will give assistance to his country of birth by constructing modern basketball courts and equipping basketball teams. He says Embiid remains a patriot and Cameroon's ambassador in the basketball world.
C'est un modèle. Aller loin et ne pas oublier ses origines. C'est louable.
The NBA announced that 29-year-old Embiid was most valuable player in May 2023. The player who left Cameroon in 2012 to pursue basketball in the United States is the second African to have been awarded the distinction after Nigeria's Hakeem Olajuwon in 1994. Embiid's rise to basketball glory is a huge inspiration for Cameroonian basketball players and youths yearning to play the game. For the sunny side of sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. Joel Embiid recently announced that he intends to play for Team USA in the Paris Olympics. Sidestepping into the boxing ring, WBC heavyweight champion Tyson Fury will fight Cameroonian Francis Ngannou on October 28th in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. VOA's Sonny Young has this preview for us.
Saudi Arabia has been hosting some high-profile sporting events in recent years, and the country will continue its sports push later this month with what's being billed as the Rumble in Riyadh. World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Tyson Fury will fight the Cameroonian Francis Ngannou, a former mixed martial arts champion, on October 28th. At a promotional event in London, the 37-year-old Ngannou said he's been thinking of knocking out Fury.
And I always ask myself, like, what will happen at the moment that that guy hit the floor and doesn't stand up? Like, are you the best boxer in the world now? Like, what would that be? I mean, if you take out the number one, you're the number one, right? I think so.
Yep.
But it's really hard to think about it. I think for right now, I'll just focus on, like, take him out, then I'll figure the rest out after.
Helping Francis Ngannou figure things out in the boxing ring is none other than former world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson, who is working as Ngannou's trainer.
It's something magical, right? I grew up just know Mike Tyson as a face of boxing, and I get to the point that my first boxing match, the guy in my corner, the guy that, I mean, I was in the gym with him training and was having those same sensation. Like, is this real, right? This Mike Tyson, right? And he was talking like, go, again. And I'm like, this is Mike Tyson on my corner for my first boxing match. This is real. And even that, after training, after we're done, I get ready to get home. And I'm like, man, one more. This is real. Just live the dream. It was amazing. So the motivation, the wisdom, the knowledge that he brings for me is something unique. For me, it's something that, I mean, he's been there tens of time, hundreds of time, which I haven't been there. So he knows a lot about the game. And if there's one person that I have to trust, that I can trust as far as boxing concerned, is Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson was the world heavyweight boxing champion in 1988 when Tyson Fury was born. Fury's father named him after the American boxer. Now Fury's next opponent is being trained by Mike Tyson. Fury comments.
It's actually hurtful, isn't it? I'm about to cry in my eyes out here. I know that if it was personal and not business, then I'd take it seriously. But this is strictly business. You know, Mike Tyson's doing a job for Francis. He's now a boxing trainer. Fair play to him. It's surreal for me to be... Imagine a newborn baby being named after a boxing champion, and then all of a sudden you're named after him, you become world heavyweight champion, and then the world heavyweight champion is now fighting somebody else, and now the guy you're named after is training the guy. He thinks he's in a dream. Now I'm definitely in a dream.
Tyson Fury says even though this will be Ngannou's first professional boxing match, he's not taking his opponent lightly.
Let's not forget, I only trained 6 weeks for Deontay Wilder. I'm doing 12 weeks for Francis Ngannou. 12 weeks. So I need to be on my A game because there's more on the line now than a boxing fight. You know, if I lose to a number one contender, another champion, it's like, well, he lost to a champion, whatever. But if I lose to an MMA guy, I'm never going to be able to show my face in public again. It's going to be ridiculed. People are going to chuck it at me forever. So there's more riding on this than there ever has been before. And whether the media want to take it as a joke or whatever they want to take it as, make no mistake, Tyson Fury will leave zero stones unturned, and I will come in at my fittest and strongest and best I've ever been to defeat this man. And if I'm not, and I get knocked out, I want you all to laugh at me. That's what I want, because I'll deserve it. Only an idiot wouldn't train the bollocks off of somebody like Francis. The man's a machine, and I'll give him 100% respect, and I'm in the gym every day training, and I can't do no more.
That's Tyson Fury, the World Boxing Council heavyweight champion, and he was speaking in London. Fury will fight Francis Ngannou on October 28th in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Lastly, the Rugby World Cup semifinals will include a rematch of the 2019 finals between South Africa and England next Saturday. South Africa squeaked past defending champs France 29-28 in an epic quarterfinals battle Sunday. England beat Fiji 30-24 to make it to the semifinals against South Africa. England is hoping for a different result this time around. We'll have more in the coming days leading up to the semifinal. and the finals, which are on October 28th. And that's a wrap for the October 16th edition of the show. Hope you all have a great day. I'm Muck Bill Yabro in Washington, in for Sonny Young. And that's the